Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome to Being Here.
Good morning.
Afternoon.
Evening, depending on what time frame, what time zone, where you are on this lovely planet. I'm Arielle.
I'm Shia.
Collectively,
the Kanes.
Today's theme, live in the moment.
And not in your worries.
Have you noticed yet?
Finish each other's sentences.
That's right. That's our style. We always like to let you know right at the top of the show, in case it's your first time with us, so you're not surprised when our conversation dovetails.
Dovetails. That's a nice way of
putting it. It is a nice way of putting it. Dovetails is like where you fit it together seamlessly and it's easy. Live in the moment and not in your worries.
That's right.
Well, the moment is rather seamless and easy. So if your life is not showing up easy right now, chances are you're thinking.
And if you're worrying about the future, chances are better than not that you are lost in thought.
We were talking it over today as we were preparing the show and looking at worries and that, you know, what composes a worry?
What constitutes worry? And then we looked it up in the dictionary.
I was really surprised.
So it shocked us what it said.
You know, the Webster's Dictionary, we have a couple different sizes. And, you know, worry, first of all, it was a large section there. And I expected worry to be something like troubles or thinking or uneasiness. There was a little bit of that at the end of the definition. But what they put right away was to strangle, to injure, twist, harass, treat roughly. I hadn't thought of worry in terms of that, but if you're worrying, you're definitely...
Look, that's what you do to yourself when you worry. You strangle yourself.
You're treating yourself roughly. I know it's been a theme that we've talked about over and over on the show, but it always bears repeating.
Well, let's go back to the themes that we've talked over and over about. How about listening? Is that a good theme to talk about?
Sure.
Over and over again? Most of us don't listen very well. We listen through comparing what's being said to what we already think we know.
Or we're going somewhere, so we're not actually being where we are, so we're not listening because we're ahead of ourselves, heading off to make the point we want to make or to fulfill our agenda or to get ahead. Or
we're listening, holding on to what we want to say when the speaker is finished speaking, so we don't look stupid. But now, true listening is none of those. True listening is when you listen to hear what another person is saying from their point of view. Now, why is that important with transformation? Well, it's important because true listening, where you listen to hear what another person is saying from their point of view, will pull you into the current moment of now. And what's cool about the current moment now, aside from that your life transforms when you get into it, is that you don't worry when you're in the current moment of now, because all worries are future-oriented. They're about how the future will show up.
And again, yes, in the last times we've spoken on the show, we're often talking about listening and listening pulling you into the moment. Another theme that has developed in the recent past, I know we've said it many times in the past year that we've been doing this show, but is to be kind to yourself. Practice the art of being kind to yourself. Most of us aren't really good at that. It's almost as if we're going to the gym for the first time and trying to do 50 push-ups. It's hard. Your arms are going to hurt. Your body's not conditioned. Well, most of us are conditioned to worry and not preconditioned to be kind to ourselves. We treat ourselves roughly. So today we're going to look at what it takes to live in the moment and not in those worries of yours. I liked what you were saying before, Shai, about it being future-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're worried, you're definitely casting off into possible futures.
See, worry is aligned with change. Change is survival-oriented. So people worry about the future to try to figure out how they can survive in the future. The only problem with that is you miss this moment of your life. If you're, see, there are three principles or ideas to instantaneous transformation. The first is anything you resist, persist, grows stronger, and it becomes what your life is dominated with the resistance to. The second principle is you can only be exactly as you are in this moment. But most of us aren't in this moment. We're thinking about futures that haven't arrived yet as though they're cast in stone. So we don't just think about the future. We're in our current moment of now worrying about how we're going to do things that we can not do anything about in this moment. It's not like we're planning to do something or are planning the way we're supposed to do it. It's that we're worrying about that we won't be able to get it done.
Worry is a form of being upset, actually, because if you're not upset, you're not worrying. But the challenge is this. I think many of us have worry mixed up with being kind, with being caring.
Being responsible.
Loving and responsible, absolutely. So,
why do you think that?
Well, I was thinking that if, for instance, you have a friend who's in distress, if you just recognize, like, for instance, if I had a friend who's in distress and I'm not going to be able to get together with them or speak to them for a few hours or until after work, if my mind keeps tickling what's happening with them and worrying about them, somehow I think that that makes me kind or loving or friendly.
I have another take on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
See, most of us learn to worry about the time we learn to speak.
Correct.
Because we learned worry as a part of our familial heritage, if you will, our upbringing. We learn to worry from the people around us who worried.
So if, following my earlier example or hypothetical, if I turn my attention to going about my day with excellence and really let go of the situation with my friend, whilst I am going about doing my activities and recharging my batteries and making a difference and going about my life meticulously, in fact, I personally know, being connected to other people, that my ability to step forward in my life is actually very supportive to anybody who is in distress, but that's not the way I've been enculturated. As you said, I learned or absorbed how to worry when I grew up.
Yeah, but you see, what you didn't get was that love is mixed in with worry the same way, because if you grow up in a family that worries about things, that's your experience of love and loving. That's your experience of responsibility and caring.
Gotcha. Now, live in the moment and not in your worries. Got to take a look at what the moment means to you. What is being in the moment? And what does worrying do for you? Do you actually think you're going to get ahead more at work if you worry? Have you thought that? It's not actually true. More if you're actually here doing what you're doing rather than racing off ahead or tickling back on what you should have, could have, would have done. You're more likely to be productive and effective and satisfied. You know, we have callers on the line. Should we take our first one?
Yes, let's, please.
We've got Joe with us today. Joe?
Hi.
Hi.
It's great to be here. And, well, just listening to you guys has helped me settle down a bit. from where I was a few minutes ago. So thank you. I thank you for that.
Settle down from what, Joe?
Well, I was just helping in my next-door neighbor. They're an elderly couple. He had fallen down the stairs, and I helped him get into the back seat of the car so his wife could drive him to the hospital. And, you know, that was a little distressing, but also they were saying how bad they felt that I was moving out of the neighborhood because I've helped them a number of times since I've been here. Kind of, just as I say that, I feel a lot of emotion.
Well, you know, Joe, I appreciate your emotion, but you've got to do what you've got to do, and if moving out of a neighborhood is part of it, I'm sure you've helped these people, but you're feeling guilty that you're leaving isn't going to help you at all.
Yeah.
And worrying about them. See, I was caught by something that you helped them into the back seat of the car so she could drive him to the hospital. I would have had him call an ambulance.
Uh-huh.
It seems like there's an awful lot of pressure on you to be responsible for their well-being.
Uh-huh. I think I felt that, too.
How you doing now?
Better.
You know, the other thing, too, is that there are certainly other people in the neighborhood, and perhaps, Joe, you can support them by lining up a number of phone numbers that they can call in case they need help and support, and you can top the list with 911.
Wow, that's a great idea. Yeah, there is at least one other neighbor who I could talk to about that, and probably more so.
You know, I remember when my mom fell before my sister's wedding. She was getting ready, and she fell, and she broke her pelvis, actually. Mm-hmm. And so it was very serious, and she was in the hospital for quite some time afterwards. It never occurred to her to call 911.
Uh-huh.
What she did was she called the golf course where my dad was golfing and had them track him down while she laid on the floor with some frozen peas,
She
had
taken
out of the freezer to press against things because she was clear she was hurt.
Uh-huh.
And when my sister heard about it, and my sister is a doctor, she was appalled because obviously if my mom had any internal injuries, that wouldn't have been a really good choice. But I don't think that always people think in a time of crisis to go for their best option. So maybe your best support would be to support them right to begin with 911. Now I have a question. We have to go to a break shortly. Are you available to come back after the break?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Thanks. So we're going to take a break now. We'll come on back and talk about living in the moment, not in your worries, after the break. Come on back.
Don't miss being here.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Everybody is thinking green these days, but green is not just an environmental state of mind, it's a healthier state of being. It's the food we eat, the air we breathe, and the structures we live and work in. It's not the dollars that we're spending, but how we spend those dollars. Are we consciously making informed decisions? Join host Connie McCullough as she explores healthier living by choice. Living Green, Healthier by Choice, airs live on the Seventh Wave Network every Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Tune in for the challenge of a lifetime, a challenge for greener, healthier living.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. We are talking about live in the moment and not in your worries, and we're talking right now with Joe. You still there, Joe?
Yes, I am.
So is that what you called in about today, to in particular talk about your neighbors, or did you have something else that you wanted to talk about?
Well, and I was going to talk about money.
What about money?
And that just kind of got shifted in the moment just before we got together. So
what about money did you want to talk about?
Well, I find myself making more money and doing better in terms of how many classes that I teach. I'm a yoga teacher, and I'm building my my clientele in the area, and it is building. But I find that I am still relying on some savings to pay for things in some cases. So
at least you have some savings.
It is. It's great that I have some savings.
I have a question for you, Joe.
Yeah.
How long have you been going really full tilt in your yoga practice?
You mean in terms of building the classes? Or
yeah.
It's just I would say really full tilt only for about 6 months.
Okay.
Before that, I thought I was going for it, and then I realized that I actually wasn't, and that it really helped for me to really to amp it up to a place where I was like making it my job. Part of my job was to get more work, not wait for more work to come my way.
Well, good for you. Now, and I'm not saying that facetiously. I really mean good for you.
Thanks.
And most businesses do not make money within the first year. So that you have worked at other things and you have savings that are supplementing while you do this transition.
You're retooling your factory, you know. You can't make money while you're retooling a factory.
Plus, we know that you just got engaged. And so part of being engaged is that you and your fiancé are wanting to live in the same neighborhood, not very, very far apart. And a lot of what you had built before was out on Long Island, and now you're expanding so that you're more in New York City. So in a certain respect, it makes sense that you're not growing or haven't grown as quickly during this time frame as you would have preferred. So when you're worrying about whether or not you're going to make it or if your savings are going to run out, somehow you are not being actually responsible for the realities of how you've been going about your business
in
the past.
Let me ask you a question, Joe. What is worrying about your finances save you from?
Great question.
Ooh. What does it save me from?
Yeah,
well,
that's a good question. What does it save you from?
I don't know if I would call it saving me from, but I know that it keeps me from spending my time to generate more business. If I'm thinking about not having enough money, then I'm not still pursuing getting more classes.
Right, but you're also, by worrying about it, you're not actively doing any. You can only do one thing at a time. That's the second principle of instantaneous transformation.
So if you're preoccupied, you cannot get down to work.
Yes.
Now, did we mention the third principle? We didn't.
Let.
The third principle says that if you see that you're doing something, merely seeing it without judging yourself is enough for it to complete itself or dissolve or lose its power over your life. So let's take a look at worries. If you're worrying about money and you just notice, here's the real question, Joe. In this moment of now, are you worrying about money?
No.
No. Well, then I guess we fixed it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I'll
in that
take
you'll take credit.
Anywhere I can.
In the
I
last,
like that.
In the last, weeks, we were watching the Olympics. And last week, Shawn Johnson, for instance, won an individual gold for women's gymnastics on the balance beam. And, of course, Michael Phelps, before that, got his eighth gold medal at these games. And one of the things that's really interesting to me is that the different people interviewing these two individuals kept asking them the question, before you got in the pool, before that eighth swim, were you thinking about and worried about whether or not you'd get the gold? Or were you worried about your balance beam routine?
Were you worrying about your standing in the competition?
And they both said something I found really interesting in their own way. They both said they didn't worry about the gold. They focused on doing their best in that individual meet, heat, routine in that moment. That was all they could do, was do their best in that moment. And then, of course, the outcome is you either get the gold or you don't get the gold. So I think that's very interesting that these people who are excelling in their passion are not worrying about how they are going to do. They've become mentally fit enough to bring their attention back to what they're actually doing.
Uh-huh.
Rather than worrying about the outcome. So if you're, here's a possibility. If you're going to yoga schools to see about getting classes, rather than worrying about whether you'll fill classes, chances are you'll get work.
Right. That's
and
true.
You know, Joe, it's interesting. I want to go back to what we talked about at the very top of the show about listening. And listening to hear what another person has to say from their perspective and really hearing it. Because I know you're expanding your business. I know you've worked at Crunch, and I know things like that. But I have, Shine, I've also known you for a number of years. But one of the things that I have suggested to you in the past, knowing that on Monday Night Alive, we have 70, 80, 90 people coming each week, and a lot of the people know you and love you, that if you did an individual class, not at a studio, but say an evening class somewhere, people would come. So I find it interesting that you're worrying about making money when I've seen it over and over again when people connect into their own communities and offer something tantalizing, people will invest back in them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's, you know, and I've thought about that so many times. It's like, I guess that I've worried that it wasn't going to work out.
Well,
instead of moving ahead on it.
You're right. You're worrying it won't work out. You're strangling yourself.
You are basically sabotaging your own possibility for success by worrying whether or not it will work rather than going for it.
See, what you have to ask yourself is whether or not you want to do it. If you don't want to do it, then don't worry about it. And if you do want to do it, take the steps. Don't forget, worry. The definition of worry is to strangle, to injure, to twist, harass, treat roughly. You know, if you are actually entertaining thoughts that you would be a failure, I think that's not being kind to you. And I'll tell you something else. If you only had four people show up, which is not possible, but if you did, if you only had four people show up and those four people loved you, you would be a success.
That's true.
I guarantee you something. If we were to speak to you, you know, you said you thought you were going full tilt 6 months ago, and then now you realize that wasn't really even on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you're still not even on the scale.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because you're still wasting your time by worrying about, one, what you can't do anything about, because the future, which is what people worry about, isn't here, so you can't impact it. And the future won't get here a moment before it does. And when it does get here, it's going to be as a moment of now. So if you're not actively engaged in your life right now, but are in neutral, waiting for something to happen, or worrying about what isn't happening that you think should be happening, then you miss out, because it all is about being here now. The future, when it gets here, is going to be as a moment of now. So if you're not engaged now, even when the future gets here, when that opportunity arises, if you're not engaged in your life right now, you won't be engaged when that opportunity arises. You know, you can't just turn it on.
Right.
Something, yes. I did this course once almost 30 years ago. And as part of this course, every day we had a mile run. And one of the things that they had as a rule during this mile run is you either ran to the full extent of your abilities or you stopped. There was no trotting, jogging, you know, just kind of making your way forward. And there's something really neat about
walking.
That. There was no walking.
You were either running or you were stopped.
Stop or go, like a light switch, on or off. And I'll tell you something. I recommend it to you, Joe. Either go, and if you're not going, don't talk to yourself about it. It's either go, stop or go.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be shocked at how much your ability to produce money increases, because you never get any rest if you're worrying in your downtime. So
you don't have downtime because you're busy worrying.
And I'll tell you something that Shai and I have had to learn, because our office is in our home. It's overlooking our bedroom. If I don't compartmentalize our work and say, okay, we're done there today, I'm never not working. And then life becomes pale and kind of sad, and I'm just kind of grouping my way through life.
Uh-huh.
So our suggestion is stop or go.
Okay.
Cool. Hey,
Thanks for calling us today, Joe.
Lovely having you on.
Well, thank you so much for helping me out. That's really good.
Excellent.
And I will keep you updated.
Perfect. We're going to be taking a break here shortly. We will be back. Got another caller waiting on the line, so come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelt a clever girl named Dreadylocks,
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here.
And we're talking today about live in the moment, not in your worries.
Karen?
Hi.
You with us?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Very excited to be here.
Oh, great.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
What is
well,
it?
Well, my question is work-related.
Okay.
I work in an architecture firm who does a lot of international projects.
Okay.
And it's very exciting and reputable. However, I find myself a lot of times worrying about future.
What about the future are you worrying about?
Well, in particularly getting a license.
Getting a life?
License.
Oh, a license.
Yes.
To do architecture?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, what is it required to get a license to do architecture?
Well, it requires a few years practicing, which I already have.
So why are you worrying about it?
So once you've done the few years practice as an architect, which you have, what's the next step to getting a license?
The next step is going to be a study for the license.
Uh-huh.
Taking a series of exams.
And taking it. Okay.
And when I pass all the exams, then I could be licensed.
So let me ask you something, Karen.
Yes.
Are you a competent architect?
Competent, don't you say?
Competent. Do you do your job well?
Yes, I do.
So why? What does worrying then save you from? What is worrying, what does that fulfill in you?
Actually, I'm not too worried about whether I will get a license. I know that I most likely will if I put my energy in there.
Okay.
But I'm worrying about, because I think having the license and being a practicing architect, strangely enough, the idea does not excite me very much, and I'm worrying about doing my life wrong.
Well, I have a very esoteric answer for you.
What is it?
She said she has a very esoteric answer for you.
What is the answer?
Oh, okay. What is the answer? I just thought you were asking what did I say? Shai and I recently had a conversation with your boyfriend. And your boyfriend has jumped around from job to job, and no matter where he is, it's never good enough. And he's left to move on to the next one, which is going to be more fulfilling, better, make more money. And then,
except when he gets there, and then it's the last one was better than the first one.
So somehow when you're talking about this, I recognize like a new flavor. Now, remember earlier in the show, we were talking about how worry is learned, well, and absorbed in your environment. You absorb worry and how to worry not just when you were young, where you learn how to worry along with the language that you were immersed in. And in your case, it's Chinese, right?
Right.
In my case, it was English. But everybody has their own flavor of familial or country worry. So when you're talking about worrying about doing your life wrong and whether or not it's worth it to invest in getting your architecture license, it's very different than the person that I've heard before talking about the excitement she has about what she's doing with the projects that she's been up to. And this, the company that you work for instance, I know does huge, huge projects, and you're part of a design team, and you've been doing wonderful work. But there's this pale lack of enthusiasm that is so similar to the conversation we had with your boyfriend. I'm just wondering if you've synchronized up with his way of being rather than you holding your own and encouraging him. I know it's just not right for a Chinese woman to be the leader. I know it. I'm sorry.
Yes, I think that's very true. Also, there's a part that sometimes it confuses me. When I see some senior professional in my firm, mm-hmm. They are really experienced architects and doing great work. But I have this voice that keeps running in my head that it's almost like I'm resisting myself, or I actually define the life of being an architect is being working very long hours and not very enjoyable.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How many architecture firms have you worked for?
Three in this country.
Mm-hmm. Now, and were they all in the New York area?
Yes.
Was the culture at all three of them the same?
They're slightly different, but in general, like working on deadline or long hours seems to be norm in the industry.
Well, every industry, Karen, you can find people that work long hours. But if you like what you're doing, working long hours shouldn't be problematic.
True.
I mean, Shai and I work extremely long hours, but because what we're doing is our passion, it's a kick.
In other words, it's fun. See, I again think that you've picked up your boyfriend's attitude towards work.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you something. We are all for you having a work life that includes an outside life and a quality of life that is well-rounded. But there's just something about, well, I don't know if I'm going to keep giving it my all because I may not be enough return down the line. It just may be too much work or too many hours.
See, here's the thing, Karen. I don't know of any occupation or profession that is satisfying. In and of itself, satisfying. Like, because you do that kind of work, you're going to be guaranteed satisfaction. No profession does that. It's sort of strange because what you're asking for is some guarantee of satisfaction in the future.
Or a guarantee that you won't have to work such long hours.
Yeah.
And I don't know any occupation that doesn't work long hours. I mean, some people say, fine, you know, I'm tired of working these long hours in the corporate world. I think I'll just go be a mother. As if that isn't hugely long hours.
That's actually even longer hour.
So there's just something about how you're approaching it. My feeling is you're in a posture where you're rocked back on your heels rather than being fully engaged. When you're fully engaged, you're not worrying about down the line and whether it'll be a good choice years from now. When you're up to speed, it will become obvious if you need to make a lane change.
You know, there's something about bringing your satisfaction to what you do. then the long hours don't appear to be long hours. You're just being where you are, doing what you're doing with a surrender to your life, rather than being the victim of having to go to work.
Yeah, I remember there are moments I feel so engaged, and I actually do not mind.
Yes,
when you're actually engaged, when you're in the moment, you're not worrying about the future, you're not listening to some conversation in your head saying you're doing your life wrong and what will you do for the future.
We have a few more thoughts for you on this, but we'll have to give them to you after the break, okay?
Yes.
Great. Come on back, everyone. Don't miss being here.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology, pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. We're talking with Karen. Live in the moment, not in your worries. Karen.
Yes.
I have this idea. You have a choice. You're either living in the moment or you're being right about something. When you're being right about something, you've taken a position, you're disagreeing with something. Of course, what you resist persists and grows stronger. Worrying is oftentimes a form of complaint. So you're worrying about whether or not it's a worthwhile thing to continue with, because in the future, then what's going to happen, it's going to be long hours, is basically a cause of complaint for the long hours that you're working now, rather than telling your bosses up front, I need to leave tonight at 7.
That's so true. I didn't catch that before you mentioned it. Worry is a form of complaint, yes.
Yeah, especially for
what
you.
I'm officially doing. Yes, that's true.
Especially for you. That's what you do.
Yeah.
You worry about things, but it's really a complaint about how the future should be, or how the present is, not fitting your idea.
Yeah.
Cool. So I think it'd be a really interesting game next time you're off worrying about something to see what the embedded complaint against yourself or against someone else is. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in today.
Yes, thank you very much.
Hey, everyone. Just a reminder, in case you've forgotten or you weren't here with us last week, Transformation in the Workplace, our New York City weekend, is coming up September 13th and 14th. You are invited. If you want to know more about it, go up on transformationmadeeasy.com, and also you can sign up to receive our emails, our podcasts of the week, and monthly newsletter. Also, just if next week you're in the New York area, do not come to Monday Night Alive because we won't be there as it is a holiday. So,
next Monday Night Alive in New York is going to be on September 8th.
September 8th. Be there if you can make it. You're invited. And by the way, just a reminder, we're loving doing this show, and we really appreciate that you are here with us. And so we are encouraging everyone to share with people this show. Send your friends the link. Send your friends the show. Have them listen. You can listen live. By the way, we now have a year's worth. It went fast, didn't it?
It did go fast.
You can go back. Have you gone back recently into the archives and taken a look at some of the shows you missed? They're all titled Pick a Theme You Like. Listen, even if you heard it before, I guarantee you, if you hear it again, it's going to be a new show because you are new in each and every moment. Living in the moment. And not in your worries.
That's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
We're talking about discovering how to be present in your life so that the situations that show up, you can deal with them directly rather than worrying about how. You know, one of the things that keeps things flowing pretty easily in that arena is doing complete work.
Absolutely.
You know, when you have things completed around you, you don't. They don't preoccupy your mind. They don't pull on you all the time.
Another thing for me, like I am get discombobulated a bit when something comes up that I disagree with that's surprising. Like, for instance, just to be straightforward with y'all, today we had a conversation with a good friend of ours, and we found out that she is someone who is been smitten by a guy, and she's liked him so much that she went against all of her own personal code morals and the way she's comported herself as an adult and has been engaging in unprotected sex with this individual without finding out anything. I mean, they said, are you safe? Yeah. Are you safe? Great. But what does that mean? Has this person ever been tested for the HIV virus? Are they sleeping with other people? She liked this guy so much. She truncated her communication style and has endangered her life. And I found immediately I started worrying for her. And really, my worries were also a version of my disagreeing with her life choices. And when you disagree with something that's already done, handled, it does not empower you. It definitely strangles your ability. I found myself wanting to send off emails to the wrong people because I had a portion of my life energy hooked up in disagreeing with my friend's life choices. Once I came back to myself, I could have a conversation with her about, you know, taking responsible steps to make sure she's healthy now and steps for the future. But whilst I was lost in disagreeing with it, there was less of me available. So you want to live in the moment. Sometimes if you get knocked off center, you have to take a look at where you've gone and bring your attention back to this moment. Rest it away from that which you are worrying about.
Or better still, just bring yourself back rather than look at what you are lost in, because if you look at what you are lost in, you'll probably stay there some longer.
True. You know, as you said that, I absolutely wasn't looking at what I was lost in. I just kept moving forward, moving forward. We've been talking to people about that quite a bit in the past week, about don't go back and try and fix what you did. Just keep facing forward and moving forward. That is a definite key component to living in the moment. So, how about for you? Have you taken a look at the things that normally hook you? Those of you who are listening, because I guarantee you that you get hooked by the same kind of things that over and over again. And if you discover how to re-engage as a lifestyle, life is going to get easier, more simple. Let's talk again about the three principles of instantaneous transformation, Shia.
So there's one, the second principle is one that I'd like to talk about more than anything else right now. The second principle says you can only be exactly as you are in this moment. And when you realize that you can only be in the life circumstances that you're in this moment, then you have the freedom to actually be where you are. Many of us do not have that freedom because we're worrying about how we're doing our lives. Well, you can worry about how you're doing your life, but if you see the second principle, you'll realize that you can only have been doing your life up until this current moment of now exactly as you've been doing it, and that in there is a freedom from guilt and shame and worry about how you're doing because you've been doing it perfectly.
Did you do that on purpose? That is such a perfect segue to next week's show.
Yes, I did it on purpose.
You know, next week's show, everybody, is on freedom. We'll define freedom. We'll look at freedom, what it takes to be free in yourself. So I think that's really perfect that you went and started talking about freeing yourself up from your worries. We're living in the moment and not in your worries. Three principles. I know Shai was just talking about the second one. We're just going to briefly go back over them again. Anything you resist,
persist,
dominates your life. You can only be exactly as you are right now, including all of the life circumstances, including all of the unknowns that you have in your life, like Karen had about whether or not someday she's going to love this job. And the third principle, anything you allow
to be exactly as it is allows you to be as you are. Anything you allow to be exactly as it is completes itself in the moment you see it. Instantaneous transformation.
You know, it's kind of like this show. We're allowing it to be, and it's completing itself. It's been lovely being here with you all today.
Yes.
And we're grateful that you're our listeners. We're grateful to be here, and we're looking forward to coming back with you next week. Come on back.
Don't miss
being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.